Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
This week's visiting critic is writer and Irish Times columnist, co-creator of the hugely successful, oh my God, what a complete Aisling series. Never know how to say that exactly. Eimear McGlaisett, welcome to studio.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh my God, what a complete Aisling.
Oh my God, what a complete Aisling.
That's the one. You got to do the coolest thing I think we might have got someone to do as a visiting critic. Tell us what you did.
I got to drive a double-decker Dublin bus. I am thrilled with myself.
Are you a driver generally? Do you like driving?
I do like driving.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've been driving for 20 plus years and I do enjoy it.
What does it do for you?
Freedom. I grew up in the countryside in the sticks.
Right.
So freedom to get somewhere when anyone who grew up not adjacent to public transport or walking distance anything knows how important it is to be able to get around. So freedom, being able to just hop into the car and go wherever you want. I'm always very conscious, obviously, of my, you know, carbon footprint and this and that. So I try and not drive when I don't need to. But
use public transport where it's available.
Exactly.
But this is the true independence movement of the Colchis.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The car.
The car.
So you love a bit of driving. Would you be listening to music or would you be serious? Would you chat?
Back in the day, it would have been a lot of music, a lot of radio. Still listen to the radio a good bit. Have to say that.
Thank you.
Hallowed halls. I listen to a lot of podcasts and audiobooks.
Very good.
I'm in a choir, so sometimes I'm listening to what we call our line tapes because you have to learn what you have to sing at the next rehearsal. So, yeah.
I don't think I've seen people sing out loud on their own in cars, actually.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm on my way to my choir rehearsal, then I hope my choir mistress Roisin is listening. She'll be, I'm the real lickers now. I'll be like,
all the choir people must be singing in their cars.
Oh, they are, yeah. Yeah, we're on our summer break now, but we have rehearsals on a Wednesday evening and I'd say you can see people converging on the rehearsal space, just singing away in their cars.
My God, we must send someone to a choir at some point as a visiting critic. Come here now, it's a crucial question because do you like driving entirely on your own? Do you mind if there's passengers? Because obviously that's the crux of being a bus driver.
I don't mind passengers. I prefer passengers who also know how to drive themselves because I find if you have someone who's not a driver, they'll be like, oh, just park here. And you'll be like, in that person's garden. Or in that bus lane or drive up that one way street. So I do prefer someone who kind of knows what they're at. But yeah, I have been wanting to drive a bus or just a bigger vehicle for some time.
Ah.
It's just kind of I'd love a go at that.
I always wanted to do this as well. I didn't get to do it. What is it for you?
Just, I think because I like driving and I'm a confident driver, I feel like I think I'd be able to do that. I'd love to give that a go. And you can't say that about a lot of things. And my dad was in the army, but when he retired from the army, he actually got into driving buses and coaches,
oh, really?
Kind of part-time.
Yeah.
And he loved it. And my brother drives for a living and he has like an articulated truck license.
Oh, wow, so it's in the blood.
It's in the blood, yeah. So,
you're one of the army kids.
Yeah, now we weren't toted around or anything. We stayed at home. But
you didn't have to live in the Curra or anything?
No. But I did grow up near the Curra.
Yeah, you did.
Basically
no choice.
The same thing. No, my dad was in the Air Corps, so he was based in Baldonnel.
Very good.
So, yes. But he also, I think he took... Now, my dad unfortunately passed away in 2008, so I can't ask him about this.
Yeah.
But he did drive for Dublin Bus in the 70s for a time.
Right.
And he drove the number 10, which no longer exists. But
sadly.
Yeah, so it is definitely in the blood.
I think it's a giant steering wheel for me. It's just all that power.
Steering wheel is giant. Yeah.
And it still is.
It's still, yeah, it was pretty big. If I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, it is pretty big. Your arms are stretched out pretty
okay,
wide.
Very good.
And I wasn't sure. I didn't think they were going to let me drive the bus. I thought maybe 5 feet forward or something.
Amazed.
And these are the buttons and then get out again. But no, I was driving. I was going to say I was changing gears. There's no gears. It's automatic.
Is it?
Yeah. Not in exactly the same way
okay.
as a car in that instead of kind of I know for an automatic, you kind of pull, you know, you go from drive to park to neutral, I think, are the three. But it's buttons rather than. Yeah.
Okay. So there's no lever at all.
No, there's the handbrake is very important. There was a lot of handbrake action. No handbrake turns.
And it's a manual, the handbrake?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah. So you've got like a big clunking
It's
lever.
Kind of, yeah, you pull up the little lever and pull
Brilliant.
It back. Very, a very satisfying kind of slotting it into
very
place.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. So tell us, where did you get to do this, by the
this
way?
This was in the Phibsborough bus depot.
And this is part of a call out that Dublin Bus is doing in general for drivers, particularly women drivers.
They are trying to recruit more women drivers. Yeah. So they have lots more. They were saying back in, I think, 2018, 2019, they had 90-something women drivers. Now they have something like 260. So that's a big jump in, you know, 5 or 6 years. But they want even more. So they're having these open days where you can go. And I've seen these advertised. Before you guys asked me to go along and be the visiting critic, I'd seen this advertised and I was like, do I want to change careers and be a bus driver? Maybe. No. So they're having an open day tomorrow, which is Saturday, May 3rd, another one on the 24th. And you do need to sign up, but anyone can go. You just have to have a driving license for 2 years.
Oh, right, a full driver license.
Yeah, so I think it's the B license, which is the kind of the one everyone
gets. And
they'll
train you up. And do you get an additional thing in your... I presume you do. Do you?
Yeah, so I think if you, you know, you apply and you get taken on, they train you how to drive a bus and then you do your bus driver's license.
Okay. And then so you did the preliminary version of all of this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's in Phibsborough.
I think they're holding it in Phibsborough. I think if you just Google, you know, Dublin Bus Women Open Day or something,
we'll get the details
for the
end for sure. And Camirtis, you're in Phibsborough and it's a real double-decker bus.
One of those red ones you see people driving around. Yeah, driver in training.
Do they have a big massive yard up there that you could drive
around?
Yeah,
they have like a big bus park, I suppose you'd call it. Yeah. But it has a kind of like a racing track, but it's not like a racing track. Shape of a racing track.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So basically there's an oval that you can drive around.
Yeah.
And there's enough space.
That's fab. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Really
I couldn't believe it. I was like, so I just go. And she was like, yeah, on you go. There was this amazing woman called Tina who has worked for Dublin Bus for quite some time. And she does some of the driver training. And she was telling me how to drive the bus. And they do have in those buses, they have the... So she has controls where she can
like a learner
brake.
Car.
But now she wasn't sitting there for any of my driving training.
Are you
serious? She must have had a lot of confidence. Maybe if I was out on the road, she might have. But no, she was standing beside me, kind of over my left shoulder, telling me how to move off and constantly checking the mirrors. And it was.
The mirrors is also a big attraction for me for the bus. They have giant mirrors. Sure,
they do. Although
things.
The electric buses don't have any mirrors. They have cameras.
Go away.
Now, the bus I was driving wasn't electric, but obviously a lot of the fleet is now electric. So
they've got screens inside.
I think they've got screens
inside.
In the
cockpit, did you get any terminology? What are they called, their driving position?
I don't remember the word cockpit being used, but I do like that because it sounds... When I was sitting in my driver's cockpit, then, you know, I was constantly checking my mirrors, obviously.
Yes.
Because
you're a brilliant driver.
Diligent driver. Yeah, yeah. But one thing that would terrify me now as a bus driver would be cyclists. I am always very conscious of cyclists and not mowing them down.
Yes.
And I see a lot of my fellow drivers are not so conscious of that.
And when you're on the bike, it's the kind of the mirrors of the bus. You thankfully realise, oh, they can see us. They know what they're doing.
So I would be...
They're the only vehicle that kind of obeys the cycle lane.
Yeah.
The buses.
Yeah. I try. Excuse me.
It would appear at times to my biased mind.
But yeah, so it was brilliant. Like, I couldn't believe I was driving a bus.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of, once you get into the swing of it, it is kind of, no, it's nothing like driving a car. What am I talking about? The one thing Tina would point, the first thing she said when I got onto it was like, the front wheels are behind you. So when you're in a car, wheels are slightly in front of you.
Course.
So you know where they're
the
turning.
The front of the vehicle.
So
around.
You're moving the... So that's why buses, when you see them pulling up, do you know what really annoys me as a driver? You know the white line before a
Thank
traffic
you.
Light?
Yes. Why does nobody understand?
Driving liquors.
We really are, yeah.
The white line before it, like that's so vehicles like buses can make
can
a turn.
Do the swing, the most obvious thing in the world. Have they never noticed other buses? And their people go, no, I can get all the way to the traffic light.
I'm going to go up as far as I can. My nose is going to be whispering off the other cars that are going kind of perpendicular to me.
I love when the bus drivers use the full use of the horn in those situations. They go, what are you doing? I
or
know there's nothing they can do, but it's hopefully for the next time.
Or the bus driver knows the bus isn't going to make it because some idiot has pulled up too far. But he goes to make the turn anyway and then shames them into having to do some kind of reverse.
That's right,
and he's just sitting, he or she is just sitting there going, come on, Sonny Jim, move.
Some of the manoeuvres buses have to do with delivery vans parked up in the wrong places.
I know.
So
and
extraordinary.
Tiny little squinchy streets.
Yeah.
And
this must be in your head when you're doing the
session. Now, I mean, I wasn't really near anything. There was a, every time I went, every time I went around, I'd say I went around 10 times maybe. Did you? Big, yeah. And there were other buses. There was the odd pedestrian worker who was walking around. There was a couple of cars and there were, you know, the parked buses. But nothing too close that I could possibly have. But I mean, I could have gone rogue. I didn't, thank God.
Is there a top speed limiter on buses?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
You don't remember how fast you went at any point?
I wasn't going super fast, no, I have to say. Crawling. But I don't know, do they have it? I don't know if any Dublin bus, I suppose if they're on one of the main roads or on the N11 out there or something, I don't know. I don't know how fast they could get up to.
What buttons did you learn to use other than...
So the buttons to kind of go into drive and park and neutral. I learned there's a button, an emergency button behind a bus driver's left foot. Oh, yeah. So if something is happening and they need help from the control centre or they need them to call the guards, they just move their foot a little bit and press
the
button.
Very clever.
Yeah.
I hope we haven't given a secret away that...
No.
This is the sad part of the Dublin bus job, isn't it? The antisocial behaviour.
Yeah, I did ask about that because I think a lot of people would be afraid of driving the bus. I'd be more afraid of that, of kind of dealing with the public and dealing with tricky customers and dealing with antisocial behaviour. But they said that really doesn't come up as much as you would think. And there's loads of support, like that emergency button, and you can connect and meet. Like somebody is always watching where your bus is and what your progress is. Like, you're not on your own.
Yeah.
And I had never really thought about that. I was like, God, it feels a bit lonely sometimes, or would you be afraid? But
is it a good job for women, do you think?
Seems to be, yeah. Like I said, I was asking questions about that. I love when I get on the bus and see a female bus driver. I'm always a bit more like, hello. Yeah. Hello, my friend.
What is she on
about? One of me.
Because it is low. I think I've read 7.7% or something, even with the improvements.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still very few women driving.
Yeah.
But it has very flexible hours. That surely
very
would be a benefit
hours,
for anyone with families.
Lots of different shifts. I was just looking at, like they said, people who drive, new drivers are kind of, you know, they're put across all different kinds of shifts, including night shifts. So there's you have to be prepared to kind of work all those different shifts. But I'd say, like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tempted. Like,
for a career change.
Yeah. Now, I was obviously so good at the bus driving that they reminded me multiple times that they have openings. So I was like, and you know, they have the signs on the side of the bus that are like, earn €860 a week. And I'm like, that's more than you earn writing books.
Oh, no. Surely not with the success of the Aisleens.
Oh, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Before we leave the buses, by the way, you parked a bus.
I reversed it into a parking space. And Tina said, you would have passed your test on that.
Are you serious?
Oh my, put it on my gravestone.
Oh my God.
Put it on my gravestone with a little tiny bus.
She would have passed the test.
She would have passed the test.
Mary in Galway was texting saying, I have a recurring nightmare that I'm driving a double-decker bus in a crowded street with the steering wheel upstairs. Psychologists, get in touch.
Wow.
The steering wheel is upstairs. Yeah. She's driving it. She's going, oh no, I don't have any controls over this
that's
careening
horrific.
Bus.
Yeah, that's a real nightmare.
That's a kind of Final Destination thing ready to happen. How long has the column of the Irish Times been going now?
Oh, that's a great question.
No idea.
Like several years at this point.
I think 6 years we've calculated.
Okay, yeah, that's possible.
Unless they've deleted some of your early material in the archives.
Oh God, imagine.
Is it torture coming up with a new idea every single week?
Yes. I've been writing column, because before I was writing for the Irish Times, I was writing for the Business Post for two or three years before that. So could that be 9 years of coming up with weekly ideas?
It's time to go
of
to the buses,
to
isn't
talk
it?
About. It is torturous.
Shite, though,
it is torturous. It's everything is copy, as we say in the writing industry. And you know, if you don't think I'm getting a column out of driving that bus, then you're going to think I'm
absolutely. You
know, no, it is. I'm always, and sometimes I have a few ideas stacked up, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do that one. Mm-hmm. Depends on how much time I have. Sometimes I leave it very, very late. I like to leave things to the ultimate last minute, and then sometimes, like last week, I was like, what am I going to write this about? And I looked out and saw my friendly neighbourhood squirrel, and I was like, can I get 750 words out of this? Yes.
And you emptied every dry food, nut and seed in the house.
The squirrel saw me coming. I swear to God, and as I said in the column, one of my neighbours is also feeding the squirrels. We only found out when he heard me shaking the nuts out for this squirrel. The squirrels dug up all my plants. because
they had been hiding the nuts.
I gave them the
excess nuts,
and then they took the excess nuts and dug up my plants, and then buried the nuts, and then came
back. They're mobsters.
The thing is, they're fooling themselves because they come back like 20 minutes later for the nuts they buried. So they don't have any willpower.
Absolutely, gougers. Actually, is what they are essentially. So you're not feeding the squirrels. The neighbour still is at it.
Yeah.
And I noticed Fintan O'Toole was writing about how nothing was sacred with all the smartphones in St. Peter's. And you're writing today, smartphones in the Sistine Chapel didn't feel out of place.
Come off it,
celebrity
row. If you were in the Sistine Chapel, there's no way you wouldn't have the phone out for a cheeky snap.
In 2025.
It's 2025. I'm not surprised people were taking photos in the Sistine Chapel.
Including clerics, very senior people.
Yeah.
See the Russian Orthodox guy, he had the phone out for the whole ceremony. He didn't know what was going on.
I mean, it's a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity, isn't it?
I think he was just like browsing. That was the thing.
Maybe he's like, you know, went to Taylor Swift.
Trump
took
had
some
the phone
photo.
Out.
Trump had the phone out. I'd say he always has the phone out.
Simon Harris definitely had the phone out because there's endless photographs of him at the funeral, which appeared to be taken in close proximity. I mean, he cannot resist at all.
Few cheeky snaps.
The Aisling's, is it still happening?
No, we've written 5 books, so that was the end.
The novels are done.
The novels are done,
happening.
But it is still happening. Yeah. So Sarah and I started Substack. Substack is kind of an online publishing platform, kind of a newsletter platform.
Yeah. And growing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many different things on there. Anything you can think about, you want to read about. So we started the Ballygobard project. We actually get
a lot of pushback. You've got 2 pronunciations for you.
We call it.
It's your thing.
Ballygobard. But everyone who's read the books calls it Ballygobbard, and
we've had people,
and as Sarah says, it's not a real place, you can call it whatever you want. We just call it Ballygobbard, but people are like, that's very posh. Aisling wouldn't say that.
Because Ballygo Brunch, obviously, which is the cafe she
had. Yeah, and we call it Ballygobbard because it's, I don't know if you know that book and Twitter account, The Irish Four. So the guy who runs that, Dara, said that Ballygobbard means place of the high beak, which just felt very fitting. So Ballygobbard is from Ard, the Irish.
If we look up a Ballygobbard project,
yes,
then
it'll
bring
on
you to
Substack. Yeah.
Some of it's free. And then
some of it's free, and then you can sign up for like a fiver a month and you get everything on there.
Yeah. Pay for writing. We're used to that.
Exactly.
Emer McGlyssa, thanks a million for coming in. If people are interested in doing something similar to what Emer did, probably not as well, let's face it. Dublin Bus are holding 2 open days. One is tomorrow. The other is the 24th of May. Register on dublinbus.ie for registration, and you'll get a time slot and directions to the location, wherever it will be close to you tomorrow. We look forward to hearing more from you on the Ballygobbard, which really rolls off my tongue, I must say. Emer, good luck. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.